You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Double Impact by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
The work of the evangelist is to spread the good news about Jesus Christ and bring others to Jesus. Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he sent forth labor to the vineyard." A harvest of souls, of new people coming to receive Jesus Christ, even coming to our church to receive Jesus Christ. And so the first week we talked to you about just reflecting and thinking about somebody you know has fallen away from God, who's backslidden. Maybe got mad with God, mad at the church, mad at a pastor, mad with Christians, and just fallen away to reach out to them. Last week we talked about you doing cross-cultural ministry, evangelism. Thinking about someone and reaching to someone perhaps who don't look like you. If we were in the halls of Congress, I would say, if you're a Democrat, go talk to the Republican. If you're a Republican, go talk to the Democrat. And if we looked in the scripture, Jesus, with the woman of Samaria, he did cross-culture ministry because the woman wasn't expecting Jesus to say anything to her, and she was ignoring him, thought he would ignore her, because the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. But for the sake of this woman's salvation, Jesus talked to her. And so we talk about cross-cultural evangelism and encouraging you to reach out to someone and invite them to church or tell them about the Lord. Again, I'm not taking a sample here because I'm believing that the word is working. I believe that y'all are not simply coming to church because y'all know if all I wanted to do was just get y'all a good feeling in the church, I would just do a message with Luke 3 points and then put say yeah. Again, just so y'all can say yeah, but I'm trying to take us somewhere because I believe that the word, if we work the word, it'll bring increase to our life and increase to our church and increase to the kingdom of God. Do y'all believe that? So I need you to take this seriously and ask the Lord to give you the opportunities to take this word and do it. Otherwise, it's just good preaching and good strategy, but you gotta apply strategy. Amen. You gotta do the work. You gotta do the work. And so this week, our challenge to you is to reach out and to stretch out and to witness and talk to somebody, bottom line, simply who you just knows needs the Lord, needs to be saved. To stretch and to think about somebody else that you know can benefit from knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And more specifically, I'm calling today double impact. Everybody say double impact. And so when I talk about double impact, the question is, how many of you have brought somebody else to Jesus? Let me ask you this. How many of you here have been responsible for a couple being together? They go together, they got married, they dated because you introduced them or you hooked them up. Okay? Your boy, y'all don't help nobody. Somebody said, I'm trying to get a man myself. If he good enough for her, he good enough for me. None of y'all ain't never helped nobody. Okay? Okay? Maybe they shacking together today because of you. Okay? You introduced them. They met at an event, a party, an occasion that you arranged. You invited them to a particular place, and the rest is history. You know, people get mad at the pastor and mad at the church all the time, and they forget the fact that I'm the one, if it wasn't for me, I'm the one who raised up their husband or their wife. It was a right direction connection. And that provided that the connection is working out good and you like the connection. Otherwise, I understand you're mad at me. Okay? But otherwise, you ought to be grateful. You know, because if I didn't obey God, Pastor Marshall and I, and come here and plant this church, perhaps you would not have met your Boaz. And you could have had a bozo. You know what I'm saying? But you ought to think about that. You ought to think about that. Some of you get mad at the pastor and don't realize I'm blessing you every night. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all get that later. Yeah. Sometimes just wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, thank you, Pastor. Yes, Lord. Uh-huh. Get the CD. Meditate on it. Selah. It'll come to you. But if you've ever introduced anyone and they've gotten connected and started going together, dating, boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe got engaged or even married, But how many of us can say the same about someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ because of you? I personally believe that every Christian should be able to name at least one other person, at least one other person who became a Christian because you became a Christian. You ought to be able to at least name one other person who knows Jesus because you know Jesus. You ought to be able to at least name one other person who made a decision to serve the Lord because you serve the Lord. One other person who joined or connected to your church because you joined and connected to your church. In other words, are you a double impact Christian? Look at John, the first chapter. John 1, verse 38. It says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek thee? What seek ye? He saw these two people following. He said, what you want? You know, how many of you know you gotta watch when people are following you? When my daughter, when I first took her to New York to get her apartment, I was real concerned. I was real concerned. I said, this little country girl grew up here in Columbia and Irmo, South Carolina. I don't know how she's going to make up here in the city. And so we were walking. And so I deliberately just stopped. And she walked way down the street and never knew I wasn't there. And then she started looking for me. Then I came out the street. I said, and I told her, I said, you need to be conscious of your surroundings at all times in these streets. Amen. Amen. And I said, and I said, I left you. You didn't even know I left you. Somebody could be following you. That means you wouldn't know that they're following you. And Jesus was conscious. So these two people followed him. He turned around and said, what seek ye? What you want? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? Verse 38. Now, if all you know of traditional church, what you heard in church, you think this is where Jesus told them, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. How many of y'all heard that before? Okay. And people try to tell you Jesus didn't have a place to live. That is not true. I told you in the context of that, Jesus had come to Samaria and he was going to minister to the Samaritans, and they were mad at him because they heard he was going to go to Jerusalem. And the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans had nothing to do with it. So they got mad with him and they canceled his invitation. So at the time, the man comes up to him and says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, really? Well, birds have holes and birds have nests and foxes have holes, but no, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was talking about that night in that city. You understand? Like, okay, if I go to New York City tonight and I didn't make hotel reservation, and I say foxes have holes and birds have nests, but Herbert Bailey have nowhere to lay his head in this city, that don't mean I don't have a house. That means I don't know where I'm going to stay in that city. Y'all with me here? So with that, come on, put up the next verse. Where dwellest thou? Where do you live? How many of your people knows it? Where dwellest thou? Where you live? Okay. Verse 39. And so Jesus said unto them, come and see. He didn't tell them birds have nests. Come and see. That means he had a place where he lived, right? And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. So now it's about, let me see, the hour starts at 6 o'clock. It's about, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so? 6, 7, 8. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He invites them, and they stayed with him that day. Keep going, verse 40. And one of the two, which had been following him and went to stay with him, heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. Simon Peter's brother Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So we see here that Andrew became a double impact Christian. Andrew was Simon's or Peter's brother. Now most of us, we know Peter more than we know Simon. Excuse me. We know Peter more than we know Andrew. Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. We know more about Peter, we know Andrew, just like we know more about Jesus than we know about John the Baptist. Now, Peter is the one who eventually, church history says, he became one of the first leaders. Our Catholic brothers and sisters say he became the first pope. Okay? He was one of the first pillars, the primary responsible ones for perpetuating order in the church and perpetuating the good news of Jesus Christ. And he became the head of the church at Jerusalem and later on in Rome. But we would know nothing about Peter if it wasn't for Andrew. Peter's the one who, when they asked, "Who do men say that I am?" everybody else was quiet. When Jesus said, "Now, who do you say I am?" they looked around and said, "Oh, we don't know who you are." And Peter said, "I know you are. You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." So Peter got the revelation, the first revelation, that Jesus was indeed the Christ. But we would never know anything about Peter if it wasn't for the impact of Andrew. We would know anything about Peter at all were not his less known brother, Andrew, who brought him to Jesus. Now, who's Andrew? We got a little bit about him. Matthew 4 and 18 tells us that, like his brother Peter, he was a fisherman. So he was in a fishing business with his brother Peter. Matthew 10 and 2 tells us that he was one of the original 12 apostles who later will be referred to in the scriptures as the apostles of the Lamb. Those who originally walked with Jesus, who were to be with him, that he could then ordain them and send them out to preach. Mark 1 and 29, it lets us know that at least at one point, Andrew was living with his brother Peter. Because he was there, even living with Peter when Peter's mother-in-law was there. But perhaps what is most significant about Andrew is recorded in John, the first chapter, and verse 40. And verse 40 and 42, which tells us that he had heard John speak and followed him. So we know that Andrew was one of John's disciples. And he then brought Simon Peter to Jesus. So John the Baptist was known as the precursor of Jesus. The one who was the forerunner of Jesus. Remember, John was baptized, had a six-month ministry. Everybody say 6 months. Because remember, his ministry ended when Jesus came on the scene. He was the one who was in Elizabeth, Mary's cousin's belly, when she came to visit him. And it was all designed by God for him to have a six-month ministry. You didn't start your ministry in Jewish, you couldn't become a rabbi until you were 30. So he's 6 months older than Jesus. For 6 months, he prepares the way for Jesus. Jesus hits his 30th birthday. He baptizes him and now tells his disciples, "Now y'all get connected to him. I must decrease and he must increase." And Andrew apparently was with John. So Andrew knew what to look for in the Messiah. He had been listening to John. He had been discipled by John, hearing about the one who's going to come after him. Though he was baptized with water, there was somebody coming after him who was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John also lets us know that before Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, he, because he followed Jesus and asked him, spent some time in Jesus' house. So by the time he goes to Peter, he had been listening to John, knew the characteristics of the Messiah. And then, by spending a day with Jesus at his house, now he personally experienced Jesus. Y'all with me? So he had knowledge and he had experience. He had knowledge and he had experience. Once you have knowledge of Jesus and experience with Jesus, you are required to tell somebody else about Jesus. See, some people have knowledge. And they have no experience. And some people, they got experience. They have felt Jesus. But they don't have enough knowledge to articulate Jesus. But when you have knowledge through teaching and then personal experience, you are the perfect one to witness and to let others know about Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? So John lets us know that Andrew is the one who who brought his brother Peter or Simon to Jesus. So my question also to you today is, since you've been spending time with Jesus in his house, who else have you brought to meet? Since you have knowledge of him and know the scriptures, who have you introduced to Jesus? We also know that Andrew had the mind of Christ, and I take those words from 1 Corinthians 2:16, who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. He had the mind of Christ before Paul ever wrote about the mind of Christ. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because in John 6, 8, 9, when Jesus was testing his disciples about feeding the 5,000 and saw they were hungry, he said to them, how we going to feed these people? Where can we buy bread that they may eat? And the Bible says he was just testing them because he already knew what he was going to do. How many of y'all know, I don't care what you're going through, God already knows what he's going to do. You scratching your head and you pulling your hair out and you putting patches in your weave and everything, you know, and you plucking them off. But God already knows what he's going to do. You all stressed. You are worried about your problems. God already, you're worried about your lack. Oh, watch this. Y'all know Jesus' first miracle was reversing lack. What was his first miracle? Turn the water into wine. Now, we ain't going to deal on the wine part. We're just going to deal with the fact that they ran out. Whatever you ran out of, Jesus know how to replace it. That was his first miracle. Reversing lack. God, he already knows what he's going to do about anything you're lacking, anything that you're needing. And so he was testing them and said, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? And somebody said, well, just a couple, even several days wages is not enough to feed all these people. But then the Bible says in John 6 and verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there's a laddie, a boy here, and this boy got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. That's the mind of Christ. Because you already knew what he was going to do. And when he does the miracle, he ends up using his boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish. I told you, heard some of my teaching this erroneously one time. They said that entered into Andrew's mind. And Jesus said, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. No, the Bible said he already knew what he was going to do. So Jesus didn't tap into the mind of Andrew. Andrew tapped into the mind of Christ. And when you spend time with Jesus, you'll get the mind of Christ. Are y'all listening to me? As a result of walking with Jesus, he started thinking like Jesus thinks. Now, people ask him, well, what would Jesus do? Well, you don't know what Jesus would do if you don't have the mind of Christ. So Andrew, now we see, has the mind of Christ. When you spend time with Jesus' house, when you've been around Jesus, when you've been in his presence, you know how Jesus operates. In the Latin, is methodus operandi. His way of operating, the way he does things. Andrew tapped in the mind of Christ. You got to have 5,000 to be fed with a boy's lunch. Acts 4:13, it tells us that when people saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They hadn't been to their college and to their university, either in class or online. They said, now, we don't know. They don't sound like they got much education. But one thing for sure is that they marveled because they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you, when you've been with Jesus, it should be something different about you. When you've been with Jesus, folks can tell it's different than folks been at the club. You know, it's just simply selfish, unkind, almost mean to have something that somebody else needs, could save their life, but won't share it, or at least tell them where they can get it. You know, if I had a headache, now I know we all spiritual, we believe in miracles and miraculous and all that, but let's say you didn't know nothing about that. If I had a headache and I just said to you, man, I just woke this morning, headache, I don't know what's my place just throbbing, and you sitting there and you got right there in your bag and you got some Tylenol, you got leave, you got Advil. If you're watching this on television, Advil, Tylenol, and send me some money. Okay? We need these monies to help the gospel. Right. And I'm sitting there complaining about it, and you got all that right in your pocket, and you won't even offer me a Tylenol? How dwelleth the love of God in you? It's just unkind, it's selfish and mean to have something somebody needs that can save their life, but you won't share it or at least tell them where to get it. That's how it is for you to have found the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the answer to life's problem, the way out of poverty, the way to peace, the way to long life, and you don't tell anybody else about Jesus. How dwelleth the love of God in you? It's selfish for you not to tell other people what Jesus has done in your life. Or if you even come to this church, and this church has revolutionized your life and revolutionized your thinking and helped you and taken you to another level, and you don't tell anybody else, that's the problem. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Everybody say ambassadors. Ambassador means a representative of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Now, Jesus isn't here, but we're here. So we pray you, or beg you, or petition you, or request of you, or ask you, as Jesus' representative, to be reconciled to God. The Amplified that verse says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are Christ's personal representatives. We ask Christ's personal representative, that's 2 Corinthians 5:20, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. So God uses us to get other people to him. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus has died for everybody to be saved, but somebody got to tell them. Somebody got to show them the way out. The Message translation of 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between us. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Isn't that good to know? That's why when I make the altar call, many times I'll tell people, listen, you can come on back to the Lord. You can come on to the Lord. Listen, God's not mad at you. You know, some people try to make you think God's mad at you. God loves you. His love overtakes him being mad. The Bible talks about his goodness and it talks about his severity. But we know he's more good than he's severe, because his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for life. So God's not mad at you. Even if he gets disappointed, he's not mad at you. He's waiting with arms wide open to say, come on, let's pick up where we left off. I got a plan for your life. Don't you let folks convince you that I don't love you, that because of your lifestyle, what you've done, how long you've done it, or your mind, or how you think, that you don't deserve to be in the house of the Lord. No, in my Father's house are many mansions. I got room for you in this house. Isn't that good to know? Look today and say, God ain't mad at you. God ain't mad at you. I'm sure the prodigal son stayed away too long because he thought his father was going to be mad at him. When he finally decided to come home, he tried to rehearse what he was going to say. Now he said, Father, and the father started making preparation while he was still on his way. Get the fatted calf ready. Go get the musicians. Start playing music. My son who was dead is alive. And the father ran to him. And while his father's holding his, he's hugging him, the boy tried to make him speak. But the father was too busy hugging him. He didn't get a chance to practice his speech. Isn't it good to know you don't have to have it all together for the father to accept you? I don't know who I'm talking to here today.
How often do you share your faith with others? Whether it's a coworker, family member, or a complete stranger, our job is to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known. Dr. Herbert Bailey makes it easy for you to share your beliefs with others. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Harvest Games, a personal evangelism series.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.